All right, welcome to the afternoon session, post ice cream version of, I didn't try any of those things, it looked a little weird, I don't know. Technical committee or technical session for ARSC 2014. Very excited to have these speakers here and here. And I'm gonna go right into the bios because we need to keep it moving. Taking a clue from Mike Gray. I'm gonna start with Bill LeVay. Bill LeVay is a graduate student in Library and Information Science program at Pratt Institute in New York City. His interests include digital archives, linked open data, about which he's gonna speak today, and he recently redesigned the website for the Archive of Contemporary Music, which I have to say looks pretty snazzy. And he's also the recent recipient, the 2014 recipient of the F. Gerald Hamm scholarship from Society for American Archivists. So please welcome Bill LeVay.
Thank you. Good afternoon. This is my second ARSC conference as an attendee, but it's my first as a speaker, so I thank you all for listening today. I've spoken with several of you already at this conference, and I look forward to speaking with many more of you. So I'm here today to talk about Linked Jazz, which is an ongoing project at Pratt Institute under the direction of Dr. Christina Pacciuelli. And here's an overview of my brief talk today. I'm going to talk about the project's goals, give you a quick intro to linked data, show you what the project has accomplished so far, and where we're looking to go in the future. So the Linked Jazz project began in 2011, and it has several connected goals. An overarching goal is to investigate the potential of applying linked open data technology to enhance the discovery and visibility of digital cultural heritage materials. The concepts Linked Jazz is exploring and the tools it has developed can be applied to any such cultural heritage material, but it is the archival material created by individuals in the intersecting, interwoven community of jazz musicians that this project has as its focus. We also want to create tools that can facilitate research and analysis of archival material related to jazz history, which will hopefully bring to light some new perspectives on the subject. And another goal is to make our data set and our tools available on the web in the open spirit of linked open data. Now, I know that talking about jazz musicians at an ARSC conference is a little bit different than in some other venues because of the amazing expertise of some of our members in this area. So I especially hope that any jazz experts in the room today will see the great potential in linking data the way that I'm going to describe. So let's take a look at linked data and specifically its freely available subset linked open data. In our current digital landscape, with the web being the most prominent feature, we have lots and lots of documents, web pages that are hyperlinked together. And a lot of these web documents are displaying information stored in databases that live on web servers. However, these databases themselves are, for the most part, discrete silos of information that don't necessarily talk to each other. So since the mid-90s, I guess, we, meaning web content contributors, have been dumping immense amounts of information, the good, the bad, and the ugly, into web-connected databases. But this information is not necessarily structured in a standardized way. So the reader, the user, must do all the work to make meaning out of this information. So the promise of linked data, and what Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web, has referred to as the semantic web, is in creating meaningful links between data, making explicit in a structured, standardized way how bits of data relate to other bits of data. So let's look at a Wikipedia entry to start. How about John Coltrane, son of North Carolina? The information on this page is human readable, obviously. The many hyperlinks on this page refer to other web documents, and we can understand or infer the connections between the two documents. However, if a computer were reading this same page, it could only interpret these hyperlinks as hyperlinks. So let's say a search engine indexing the web page, it can't necessarily interpret how exactly John Coltrane is connected to Miles Davis or Thelonious Monk based on this information here. So if we could start to encode these kinds of relationships explicitly in a machine-readable way, then our machines could parse and analyze and map these relationships. All things that computers do well with data, they could do with these linkages. So it's a little bit of an abstract concept, but I think you can begin to imagine some of the benefits that this kind of structured information, especially when we think about big data, but also for digital humanities scholars, archival researchers, catalogers, collectors, and so forth. So the framework for doing this encoding, for encoding linked data on the web, is the Resource Description Framework, or RDF. And the syntax of RDF is relatively simple: subject, predicate, and object. So this group of two entities and the relationship between them is referred to as a triple. So here's an example. John Coltrane composed A Love Supreme. If we were to look at this as an encoded RDF triple, it would look something like this. So you'll notice that each of these pieces of information is represented by what we would recognize as a URL. And technically, these are URIs, uniform resource indicators, as opposed to locators. These indicators point to a stable resource on the web that contains data about that thing. So at the top of that code there is the URI for John Coltrane. If we were to click on that, we would get, this is just a section of the page, take us to a DBpedia page that contains lots of structured data around about John Coltrane. DBpedia is a crowdsourced effort to extract structured information from Wikipedia. So when Wikipedia introduced that little info box on the right side of a lot of articles, people realized that that tabular kind of information could be harvested and converted into structured RDF triples. So DBpedia publishes stable URIs representing things in the real world, people, places, so that when we refer to these things in our RDF triples, computers can go to that URI and get back data about that specific thing. So here in the case of Coltrane, there's lots of nicely structured information. You have aliases, associated artists, birth and death dates, genres, instruments, labels, and on and on. So then we have the predicates, the connective tissue. And on the side here, we see some of these. We see the acronym OWL, O-W-L. That stands for Web Ontology Language, which is a language that allows us to create controlled vocabularies of terms, which are also represented by stable URIs. And these act as the predicates in our triples. So one such machine-readable ontology is called FOF, or Friend of a Friend. I'll talk about that a little bit later. That's a vocabulary that allows us to describe personal relationships in a structured way. So person A knows person B. Person X has met person Y. So again, we'll get back to RDF triples and FOF in a minute. First, I want to show you a representation of kind of a five-star rating system for linked open data sets. So I've been talking about linked data in general. Now we're kind of looking at the open part of that. So the linked open data community, the philosophy is similar to the open source software community. So you want things to be available openly on the web. You want it in non-proprietary formats, and then all the other things that linked data, that you expect from linked data. So it should be structured well. You should be using URIs to denote these things, people, places, what have you. And then the fifth star there, link your data to other data and provide context. Make sure that your data can play well with other data. That's the big the point, really. So now I'd like to share with you what the Link Jazz project has accomplished so far. The project can be divided into three components, what we've done so far. Get the names, find the names in the documents, and describe the relationships between the names. So to compile a name directory, we utilized DBpedia. We extracted and then ingested into our directory names of people who had been categorized as jazz musicians. We then matched these names to name authority files, specifically the Library of Congress and VIAF, the Virtual International Authority File, in order to standardize the names using accepted forms and incorporating any alternate names or aliases, different spellings, etc. This was a largely automated process that was accomplished with scripts written in the Python programming language. So this yielded good results on the whole, especially with more well-known musicians. We ended up with about 9,000 individuals represented in our directory. But first, we still had to do a little bit of cleanup on some of the names. So this was performed by members of the Link Jazz team using the curator tool interface that we created, which allows a user to easily disambiguate individuals by connecting them to the correct authority record, verify how their name was mapped, or remove them entirely if there was some outlier that snuck in. So next, we have to find the names in the archival documents. So in this case, we used oral history transcripts that were freely available from several institutions, including the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers, Hamilton College, and the University of Michigan. The transcript analyzer was developed to automatically identify personal names cited in interview transcripts and then map them to our name directory and name authority files. And this was, again, a largely automated process. In this case, it used natural language processing. But then, again, as with the name directory, it was enhanced with human intervention after the fact. So then the Link Jazz team members checked and cleaned up the output in preparation for the next step, which was our crowdsourcing tool. So in a transcript, we were able to, you know, pull out names in a pretty automated way, but we can only assume that jazz artists who cite other jazz artists in their interviews have some kind of association. But the relationship could be anything from a close personal friendship to they know that that person exists. So to perform a deeper analysis of this network, we again complemented the machine-driven approach with a human-driven one. So in this case, it's we used crowdsourcing to better interpret the interpersonal connections. So Link Jazz 52nd Street was developed to harness the knowledge of jazz scholars, as well as jazz enthusiasts, and really anyone who wanted to come and help us, to assist with the interpretation of the relationships among jazz musicians as documented in the interviews. Now, this tool is a web-based application, and it asks contributors to classify the relationships between two jazz artists according to a menu of options. So users are taken into this screen where we have on the left the names of the individuals that were mentioned in the transcript. Then we see the snippet of the interview with the name highlighted. And then on the right side, we have our menu of relationships using the friend of a friend, FOF, web ontology. And the idea here was to really go by what you can interpret from the text at hand. Of course, you would, if you were a jazz scholar, you would have a lot of background knowledge to add to this. You might have some insight into a particular relationship, and that's really why we added the comment option there. We could accept any kind of freeform text to just really enhance the relationship description if these options weren't up to your personal standards of interpretation. So now we've defined our relationships, and we can create a network map of the musicians. This was, again, an automated process, and under the hood, of course, are our RDF triples powering this whole thing. So I really encourage you to visit linkjazz.org, and you can play around with this map here. It's dynamic. It's like kind of a 3D sort of thing. You can click on artists and get some information about them. Right, there's various modes you can use to display a social network, and you can click on one particular artist and get their network by itself there. So now we have lots of names and we have lots of relationships encoded in this structured way. So what can we do next? So we've been looking at a few different avenues, and we've been pursuing some. One of them is a focus on women in jazz, generally underrepresented in the scholarship. So our hope is that maybe by making some of these connections and focusing on the women in the network, we can maybe bring to light some new angles or information. So we were kind of influenced by the Women in the Band documentary that came out recently, and then, of course, the Women in Jazz project at IJS at Rutgers, which has collections from Abby Lincoln, Wilma Dobie, Victoria Spivey, Annie Ross, Ella Fitzgerald, and, of course, the Mary Lou Williams collection. So we're looking at ways. One thing we've been thinking about is any digitized material we'd be able to kind of parse for this sort of information. We could look at the EAD finding aids, for instance. If there's correspondence listed in the finding aid, we could extract the names of the people, the correspondents, and start to make relationships that way. And another thing we've done is we had a Wikipedia edit-a-thon that focused on women jazz musicians. So we had Pratt students come in, and we did a quick tutorial about how to properly edit a Wikipedia article, the best practices. And even something as simple as taking an article that's just a bunch of paragraphs about someone and creating that little info box on the right side of the screen, that's extremely helpful, because then DBpedia can go in and grab that information, create this structured data, and then we can go into DBpedia and grab that for our name directory. So it all kind of plays together. Another thing we've looked at is we got metadata from Tulane, their jazz photo collection. So I spent a lot of time this past semester kind of getting my hands dirty with some of the data and cleaning up data, grabbing names from this metadata set and seeing what we can do with them. So perhaps we could take a photo and say, okay, here's Mahalia Jackson, and then we could start to create an actual RDF triple that has her name and the photo, the stable URI of the photo itself. So now you can start to map people and photos and people in this RDF linked data way. Another thing is discographies, of course. This seems like a no-brainer, right? We just need discographies that are open in this linked open data ethos, you know? So one of them is JDisc at Columbia. So if we could extract this information in this structured way, we could start to get triples that would connect people in our directory to sessions, songs, arrangements, labels, things like that. And I think you can start to see how rich of a map you could start to get, especially when you add maybe the recording studio, so you have spatial data, and then you start to add things like the recording date, you have temporal data. You could start to do some really cool things once you have that information in this structured way. Another thing, again, this is sort of the similar idea with the discographies, but other online, openly available music databases, you know, they're not all great. There's a lot of mistakes and things that you could find, but MusicBrainz and others, they're doing this linked data thing. So if we could get our data to mesh with their data, we could only enhance each other's projects. again, as I said, finding other jazz collections and archives, if the EAD finding aids are particularly rich in metadata, we could start to harvest those for this kind of information. And another thing on our list is to redesign these web tools that we've created based on the feedback that we've gotten so far. Something, you know, maybe some simple user interface redesign things to make it more user-friendly for folks. These are some of the things on our list. So I encourage you again to check out our site, linkjazz.org. I encourage you to use the crowdsourcing tool as it exists now. And let us know what you think. You can use our data. We have APIs readily available. And I'd love to hear suggestions for other openly available data that's out there that you think could work with our project and that our project could help enhance that data. So thank you very much for listening. I want to thank my team members and my professor, Dr. Pacciuelli, and thank you to ARSC membership. Thanks.